Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
My coffee looks weird.
Well, there's not much milk, is there? Mm. Not very nice.
It's fine. Yeah. It's definitely decaf.
Definitely decaf.
Okay.
I mean, you don't need full... It's not full bar.
Yeah.
Mine's full bar.
Okay.
We've started, by the way.
Okay.
Grab a copper and stop that yawning. It's time to tune in. It's Sunday morning.
Son of a boopy.
Okay. Good.
Good morning to you. This is a brew. This is Brew with the Ben. It's on a Sunday morn. Pick up your cup and have a yawn. It's Brew with the Ben. It's and you.
Wonderful introduction, Gemma.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are you out there?
The date is the 22th of May.
22th? The 22th of May?
It's Sunday, the 22th of May, 2022. Yep. There's a lot of twos going on, isn't there?
Too many twos.
2,200 hours on the 22th of May.
I bet that's got
2022.
If you let me get a word in, I think that's got some sort of significance. Someone will say, some druid will say something like that is the end of the world. 22, 2205, 2022.
No, they won't. That's stupid to say that. However, to say the 22th of May is not stupid and it's very, very funny.
Okay. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm really good, yeah. I'm really good. We set a cat amongst the pigeons last week, you know.
Why?
Well, you know the old snooping.
That was the week before.
The week before.
Yeah, two weeks ago.
But you know the power of that? People are still interested.
That's because everybody's a nosy.
There. Everyone's there's a nosy prick. The neighbourhood nosy pricks. But people are like, what happened?
Yeah.
I think we need to speculate. I don't think we need to create panic, but I think you've probably got a Fred West living opposite your mum.
I don't think so. I don't know. The answer is we don't know.
We don't
Answers
know.
Answers on a postcard.
We're still going to try and find out, aren't we?
No.
No?
No.
We're not going to do some undercover snooping?
No, because you can't. How can you do it? Unless you go and knock on the door and go, all right, what's up? What's happening?
Yeah.
It's just impossible. So you'll spend forever speculating about it.
Yeah.
And we're never going to know. And that is quite annoying.
That is life, though, isn't it?
It certainly is.
We are in the dark most of the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I wonder what it was. What did you think it was?
I wouldn't like to say.
No, anyway.
I wouldn't like
but,
to say.
But yeah, people are very, very, very interested in what's going on there.
Of course they are. We love a little bit of a Midsummer Murder thing.
I was thinking
unsolved
about,
case.
I was thinking about this, though.
Yeah.
What annoys you about crime dramas? You know, these sort of detective dramas.
Yeah.
Because who was the ones you liked when you were growing up? Who was the sort of the guys
loved
or the
a bit
girls?
Of the old Bergerac.
Bergerac.
Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
Minder.
Did you like Murder, She Wrote?
Never watched it. I mean, obviously, I knew the theme tune. How did it go again?
She was on the...
That's it.
She's always on a typewriter.
Yeah, I used to like that.
And she just had the vibe of an interfering woman. Yeah. It was just always there. And you felt like going, listen, Jessica Tan, was it? No,
Angela Lansbury.
Her name was Jessica Fletcher.
Oh, was
Jessica
it?
Fletcher.
So did you watch that one then?
All the time. Oh. They're always really tame murders.
Yeah.
No one ever liked...
Well, we always like Poirot.
You know, yeah.
Poirot. And what was the other
Can
one?
Can I tell you the best bit of Poirot for me?
Go on.
The bit where he had them all... He used to get them all in a room. If I was the murderer, do you know what I would do?
Go on.
Absolutely not be in that room at the end.
Yeah, but then they'd know... Oh, okay.
No, if you just, I can't make it, mate.
No, but he'd be like, why do you not want to come in the room?
Yeah.
Because you are guilty. As a dog sitting next to a pile of poo-poo.
But he's basically, I remember when he said to everyone, he said to the one guy, he went, oh, he said that we have found fingerprints.
Yeah.
And he said, nonsense, Mr. Poirot.
Yeah.
Because I wore, and he went, gloves.
Oh.
And caught
very
him.
Good.
But I thought that's a rudimentary, basic.
You know, we're missing one very obvious,
who?
Famous police thing.
Who's that?
Columbo. Just one more thing.
I used to love that one. He used to leave the room
brilliant.
And then turn around.
Just one more
thing. Do you know what does piss me off, though? I've been watching a lot of crime dramas on Netflix.
Cracker, we loved Cracker.
We loved Clacker. Clacker?
Crack, yeah.
Clacker. We loved Clacker.
Fitz, but what was his face?
Fitz McPartland.
Fitz Montgomery.
No, it was Fitz.
Fitz.
Yeah. I don't know what his name was.
I can't remember.
Wabi Coltrane.
Oh, it was a great,
he was
great,
really good
great. Oh, and do you know what we loved? NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
That was so
I was like
good.
That. They were like proper
Sipowitz.
Cops.
Sipowitz. If you're going to be a cop, you want to be called Sipowitz.
Yeah.
Let's get Sipowitz on the case.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's been a murder down the precinct. Get Sipowitz on the case.
Stop busting my balls, Captain.
You got some donuts there?
Is that what they say?
Well, that's what coppers eat.
Stop busting my balls, Captain.
Yeah.
Get off my case.
And what was the other one? Sipowitz and... Oh,
I don't know.
They were great names.
Anyway, what I was going to say is I've been watching a lot of crime dramas. A couple of things that really tits me off. One, they always text. They always text with their phone on loud. Like if they're plotting something, you always get the haptic thing. Now, only nanas and bellends use that. No, and then they go... And I'm like, if you're plotting crime... Put your phone on silent. That's a basic.
Well, they're normally in a room on their own, aren't they, when they're doing stuff like that?
Even so, though, why? If you are sending something, you want to be anonymous. Why? Have
Because otherwise, it's aesthetics, isn't it? They need something to fill the silence while they're typing.
I suppose it's building a sense of drama. Yeah. But the other thing that really annoys me, they always do this. They always do this. They always have a moment where a character...
Yeah.
He's feel the suspicion on the character.
Go on.
And then you always embrace... And they have the camera over the shoulder of the character who's innocent, looking in the face of the character who's guilty, and a long lingering look to camera as if to say, this is some over-the-shoulder guilt.
Some shit's going to kick off
and
next
episode.
And I
always think, stop using that shot. Or another thing that annoys me, I've noticed, there'll be two characters and I'll be going to give you a bit of information.
Yeah.
And I'll be like something like, trying to talk to you. I'll say something like, the thing is, darling, the thing is, I need to confess something. It is... and you'll go on, spit it out. And you'll go, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
And then they walk away and you go, what's that? It's just annoying.
I don't think that's specific to crime.
Do it a lot in soaps.
Soaps, they love that one.
They love using that one. Where it's
and
like,
they do the linger as well, the lingering stare.
They go like, are you going to, what is it? There's something you need to know about Dave. What about it?
Well... It don't matter.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, it don't matter.
It's not as important as the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nonsense. But we can't... we don't know what happened under the blinds, behind the blinds, the snooping thing. We're not sure, are we?
No. Although we did have... Did we talk about the dead rat on the garden?
No, but I don't know what that's got to do with
anything. Well, snooping out the blind and saw a dead rat.
I know.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And some crows pulling its head off. And
that's not a mourning image, people.
Oh, sorry.
It's just nature, isn't it? Recycling itself. Sophia, on Wednesday, what's happening?
Bring your dad to work day or bring your dad to school day.
Bring your dad to school.
Yeah.
And
so,
it's like, I'm going to be dragged
in. Well,
it's
not actually bring your dad, it's any parent. But she was just like, she came in and she says, Mummy, we can take our mums and dads to school to talk about what they do. So, can I take daddy? I didn't even get a look in.
I've got to be
because you've got an interesting job.
Do you know what's really weird? Yeah. It's like I imagine you, yeah, you'd left me.
Yeah.
And Sophia and me were in the park.
Yeah.
And she's dragging me to try and get a date.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm on some sort of dating
show. Well, it is
show.
A speed dating thing. So they do it as a speed dating setup. So all the parents will be like sat on chairs and then the kids move around and talk to each parent for like so many minutes.
Oh, God. I'm going
to
be
interrogated. And they have to ask you questions about what you do for a job. So I told you that our friend down the road who's doing it, the dad, he's a chemistry lecturer. Yeah. Electric and chemistry at Nottingham University. So he's going to go in his lab coat and, you know, proper dress it up. And I thought, you've got to take a microphone, even though it's not plugged in, take it. And I think it'd be really cool to let the kids hold the microphone and say, well, what, you know, explain what you do. And then also I would give them a joke to say, and then they can have a go at doing it, delivering a joke.
Oh, I'm going to have to prep for this.
Yeah.
Do you know the thing is though, every single kid who's going to sit down.
Or say to them, have you got any jokes? You know, ask them for a joke.
Well, every single kid that was going to sit next down to me is going to go, tell me a joke.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be racking my brains trying to think of something that doesn't damage them, me into trouble.
We need to raid a children's joke book. And I have actually got one upstairs, a Horrid Henry one. So I think write down a list of... It'd be
acceptable.
Nice to give each kid a different joke, you know, so they go home with a different joke.
I'm going to be walked in there because Sophia, what I love about it is Sophia's got that thing in her head where they're going to be like, and this is Andrew, who is Samuel's dad. He is a lab technician. Round of applause. And then the next one is like, and this is Susan. This is Sarah's mum. She is a teacher. Round of applause. And this, Sophia, who's this? This is my daddy, Scott Bennett. www.scottbennettcomedy.co.uk.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He is a stand-up comedian. Boom!
Yeah.
Can just see her just going, beat that for interesting,
yeah,
the rest of the kids. Just, but then it's like, I might give him a little window into the real insight.
Yeah.
If they say, what is it like? I would say, stand-up comedy is a mental illness. Imagine sort of all these little faces looking at me.
Yeah.
Tell us about what it's like, Scott. Tell us about what it's like to perform in big theatres and travel the world. It's a mental illness that is beyond anyone's control. Mm. It's basically driving with jokes thrown in. We are couriers of laughter.
Yeah.
I'm not very happy. I'm tired.
I don't see my children.
I don't see my children. I don't even know who this is. This is the most time we've ever spent together. Yeah. This is bonding right now. Yeah. Next question. I'd want to be a comedian. Don't, it'll ruin your life.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be a comedian. Well, don't bother with this school because this shit's not needed.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a weird thing that they bring you.
Don't crush their dreams. Give them some hope.
No, I'm going to
give them some hope. Even if it's false hope.
So I'm doing that on Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, I've got to go into school in all my Scott Bennett. Imagine just going.
Going all your merch.
I'm dripping with my own merch.
Oh, brilliant.
Just to bear with me, kids. I'm just going to have a drink of tea.
Give them all a signed DVD. Take that into your mum and dad. Here's a flyer for me tour.
Here's a flyer for you tour.
Brilliant.
Imagine.
I'm not even joking.
Imagine their teacher coming up to me afterwards and going, a lot of the parents were very good because they told about the job. You plugged your tour. So another joke that's going to be on
so
the tour.
Funny.
What it is I think you don't understand, guys, with comedy. It's a little bit more going on than that. I mean, he's an architect. Yeah. Big deal.
Yeah.
I had a career, jacked it in to be an idiot. Any next questions? But I think it's, so it's she's excited.
This is a exit flyer, the whole thing.
Exit flyer in playtime.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I could do a tour of the schools. I'd
so
say
funny.
To Sophia afterwards, Sophia, we've got the Methodists at 2 o'clock. You're now my manager. She just walks in. This is my school of rock, innit?
Innit? Yeah. You're in the band.
Yeah.
So good.
Why are you tired, Gemma? You had a busy
Eurovision. Oh, God, it was such a good night.
Kids stayed up.
I love Eurovision. It's just so good. Everything about it is good. And you naysayers out there, you're wrong. It's good. I just love Eurovision. I love the spirit of it. I love the fact that it's all love and peace and harmony. And I love that crazy bands get up and just dress up as wolves and say, I want your grandma, yum, yum.
They get some...
were the lyrics to one of them and it made us...
I want your
Because we were at your
mum
and dad's and obviously Mags's grandma and we were in hysterics. Sophia was howling with laughter. She's like, look what they've just said. I want your grandma,
it is
yum,
like,
yum.
It is like some of these ideas.
Sorry, I think that was Finland or Norway.
They always do mad shit. I quite like the ideas that it is like people who've... been smoking crack and stuff like
I think
we need people with massive hats. We need people talking about cannibalism of grandmas.
No,
Eurovision.
I think the further north you go, the sort of northern hemisphere, when they have very short days in the winter.
Yeah.
That's where the crazy stuff comes from.
You think it's a lack of sunlight or something?
Yeah, it's like, dress up as a wolf, I eat your grandma, yum, yum. Oh, it's just so funny.
Was it a rap?
No, it was a song. I have to say, it's the first time I've thought to myself, I actually want a Eurovision album. I want the 25 songs on an album and I will listen to them.
Oh, that would be
it
a tough
so
listen.
Good.
That
it was so good. It was so good.
There's never a time when you want to listen to Eurovision.
It was brilliant. And you know, Graham Norton, he was genuinely brimming with pride at Sam Ryder.
Did well, second place.
It was amazing. France, 12 points. Germany, 12 points. We kept getting the 12s. I couldn't believe it. And like Graham was saying, he was like, this Sam Ryder did encapsulate the essence of Eurovision. He's so positive and just such a nice guy, and all of his team. And the song was brilliant, and he just performed with such grace. And
And obviously Ukraine won because of the current state of affairs.
Well, the thing is, we won on the vote from the panel, which I love the way they do it now. So do you remember in the olden days you had to sit there?
It used to be political. But
they were dishing out the points. You'd have to listen to them give out right from the beginning, like un point, deux points.
We go now to Luxembourg.
But now,
hello Eurovision. Yeah, you know, he'd go like that. Hello Eurovision. You looking beautiful today?
Oh, they still did
and
all
then
that.
They go, it's lovely to be here. We, as we say in Luxembourg, the bus is late, but the people are on it.
Yeah.
And just do some mad joke and they go,
Or they always say, you are all looking so wonderful this evening. Thank you for such a great show. It's so wonderful to be here. But I know what you're thinking. Get on with it. But I would just like to say another 3 minutes about absolute inane rubbish before I give you the points, which is what you're all waiting for. And I would like to say, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, just get on with it. But I'm going to keep speaking for another 2 minutes.
Then they go stuff like that. They're always like really white teeth, tanned. And then they'll go something like, and before we give the points, I just want to say the world is one big place. We're all one people. We need to pull together harmony, unity, love. Okay, on with the points. They always do some mad moment.
Know, the one that I do still love is when it's Portugal and we're all going, they're going to give Spain the 12. They're going to give Spain the 12. And our 12 points go to Spain. And we're all like, no shit.
Yeah, our 12 points go to the place where I have my villa, Spain. The points go to, hello, mom, dad, Spain.
Yeah.
It's become
but
political.
But it really didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like that on Saturday. It really didn't. I'm not joking, Scott.
A bit more like Goodwill.
I feel like the points went to the really good songs.
Yeah.
It really did. And of course, when it went to the people. So that's what I really like about the structure now. So you have the points are dished out. And as soon as it comes on the screen, they give the points up to 10 points and they're all there straight away. So you're not waiting.
Yeah.
And then the person on the link up, the live link up, just gives the 12 points who it's going to. So it's quite snappy.
Only took us, 50 years to work that out.
Yeah.
No wonder why Wogan used to get shit-faced.
Oh, I love him.
He used to push him into that booth with a box of wine.
I do love Norton, though. Norton's brilliant.
I used to love it when they used to push Terry in and they'd go, Terry! And every now and then they'd prod him through the glass and he'd just go, oh, he's back again.
It was brilliant.
Here he comes.
So good. Love Terry.
Yeah, but it was a good night.
Yeah.
And the kids stayed up.
And I love Norton.
Lots of kids stayed up.
And also, so when they've done the panel points, then it goes to the public vote and it really does add a new edge to it because you're like, they're going through it and like it's literally like it can change everything. So like obviously Ukraine got 400 and some points, so shot them straight to the top. And then we were thinking, well, we're not going to catch them, but you know, are we going to stay second? You know, and of course we did, and it was just it was euphoric. It was brilliant. Such a good night.
I did a gig last night outdoor with Johnny Vegas hosting.
Brilliant.
Which was such good fun.
Did you get to meet him?
Yeah, lovely.
Lovely.
Just,
Have you met him before?
No. So genuine, down to earth. It was outdoor in Melbourne.
Yeah.
In a really nice, not in...
It looked a good setup.
It was a good setup. But it did make me laugh because like so many people were asking for selfies with him.
Yeah.
But it did make me realise so many people can't use their own phones. Because there's so, that awkward moment. Yeah. I've never had that.
Like, oh, God.
Occasionally, when they'll go, Johnny, or something, can we have a picture? Can we have a picture? And then they get the phones and then they go,
I'll just put the passcode.
No, then you can hear, Julie, yeah. Julie, how do you use your phone? Yeah. It's wrong way around now.
Yeah.
Where's the flash, Julie? Just 10 minutes. Then you're going like, and then everyone's sort of sat there like that. And then you go, press the button, mate, press the button.
That's reminding me.
Julie, you've just took a picture of yourself, Julie.
Do you remember that scene on The Office when it was old-fashioned cameras where you have to wind it on,
yeah,
press the button, wait for the flash, and she keeps getting, is Olivia Coleman, isn't it? And she
yeah, goes, there's that really awkward just, moment, just waiting
just
for the flash.
For the flash.
Well, the thing is that people, it's amazing how many people can't use their own phones.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good night. And someone came up to me afterwards, because Johnny obviously was, Johnny did great. And that's what they were there for.
Yeah.
And someone came up to me afterwards and went, oh, you were on first, weren't you? I went, yeah. They went, oh, I don't like modern comedians.
But I like you.
I like you.
Oh, I love that compliment.
Sort of backhanded compliment, isn't it?
But it's still a compliment.
Still
a compliment.
Nonetheless.
And you're classed as modern, are you?
I don't know. I took it. I was like, yes, I am modern,
modern at
baby.
43.
Modern.
Very nice.
But yeah, that was an excellent evening. I really enjoyed
Good
it.
Good for you. So we've had Eurovision. We've had your gig with Johnny Vegas.
Yeah.
Should we give a quick kitchen update?
Oh, you can give a quick kitchen update.
And it will be quick. Very quick. We're incredibly bored of this now.
Yeah.
Okay, in a nutshell, cupboard doors are going on. Worktops measured up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then we'll be fitted. Electrician returning on Wednesday. Plumber returning on Wednesday to put the gas in.
It's going
to
be like DIY. I'm going to be Nick Knowles on Wednesday, me.
Probably by Friday, we might be looking something like and maybe able to cook something from next week.
Saturday jacket potato to celebrate.
And that's the update.
That is the update.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Very good.
But the other thing that that happened last week, well, this weekend, actually, I gigged in Birmingham at the Glee.
Yeah.
And I was talking to another comedian, Jacob Hawley. Very good. Check him out. Younger comedian, cool comedian.
He's
everything
modern.
I want to
that's
be.
A modern
He's
comedian.
Modern, baby. We got talking about this foot fetish thing. Do you remember when my feet appeared on the foot fetish site?
Yes, yeah.
Same thing happened to him.
Feet.
Right. Wiki feet.
Wiki feet.
There's something called wiki feet.
Right.
He was on there. Mm-hmm. People asking for pictures of his feet.
Right.
He started selling his socks and stuff.
He actually went through with this and actually enabled the foot fetish people.
He sold 250 quid a pop.
Get lost.
No, I'm thinking I might start selling my socks. They don't want brand new ones, though.
They want
ones you've been to the gym in and stuff.
It's wrong. It's so wrong.
But then, like, what really made me laugh
Weird,
is...
Weird, but... If it's going to make us a bob or two, get them out.
Get them out. So let's start selling my socks.
Yeah.
But the thing that was really funny was he said that one person asked for him to send him them for free.
Yeah.
He said, oh, can you send them for free? Because I've got no money. I've fallen on really hard times. I was like, yeah, because he's spending £250 a pop on
socks.
On socks to
people's worn socks.
People's worn socks. It's
weird.
A strange world,
that is
isn't
weird.
It? But yeah, so I might start, Gemma. I might start. I need to what can we call it? Under the like on the website, I've got like mugs, coasters, hoodies, worn socks.
Oh God.
Just really I could start wearing them.
People are weird, aren't they? Don't you think?
But then other people, they sell them. I don't even think they've come from that person. There must be a factory somewhere where they're paying people if you're mega famous just to put your socks on for a bit or just wipe themselves on your pants.
Oh, that's wrong.
People are wrong, aren't they?
It's a wrong one. That's a wrong one, that
Some
is.
Weird people out there with all
well,
the little
Well, this is when we were talking
kinks.
About you saying people marrying cars, and I was just like, why? And you were like, they just want to rub themselves on stuff. And I'm just like, oh, God.
It is. People.
I mean, you know, each to their own. And if you're doing it within the privacy of your own home, knock yourself out, love. But I'll tell you what, if anybody rubbed themselves on my new hob, I'd be really annoyed. I mean, new oven.
Imagine it.
I mean,
new.
Oh, in that new fridge, lovely.
Yeah.
It's just a normal fridge, everyone, but it's just so lovely.
It's because it's new. It's still got the stickers
on. And it's
integrated.
Oh, my God.
I mean, all that means is you're hiding the beauty of the fridge.
No, because I like clean lines. I like clean lines.
Hiding it behind a cupboard.
Oh, blooming
it's
heck.
It's a shame, fridge. If you were proud of the fridge would be out. But this fridge is getting behind the cupboard. I'm sure if I was that fridge, I'd be like, I've got beauty and you're putting me behind a cupboard.
I've told you, I tell the loads of people this, but this is how my sick brain works. I'm like, because we've had something good happen to us, like having a new kitchen, I feel like there's something bad around the corner.
Mm.
Like I'm not allowed to enjoy it because it's like, oh no, you've been fortunate in life. Therefore, you are not, you're going to have something bad.
I don't think that's how it works.
Do you not?
No.
I hope not.
You're thinking of the yin and yang?
Yeah, it feels
the
like
the balance
yin and yang.
Of the universe.
Yeah, it's like you've had your new kitchen that you've wanted for many, many years. Just you look out,
just watch
young
out,
lady.
Mate,
don't get cocky.
Well, just walk Ooh, around in bubble like wrap, it. Protect yourself. Speaking of weird kinks as well, I was at a gig and another comedian, Freddie Quinn, showed me some videos on his phone.
Right, what is this? Because I saw this.
You saw the picture.
I saw the
of
picture
me
and
with
I was
the
like,
head in
and
my
I'd
hands.
Never asked you what it. Are you allowed to say or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I had my head in my hands.
Why?
Because it was people who get off on.
It's nothing disgusting, is it?
Well, it's men who enjoy having their penis messed with in weird ways.
Right.
So one guy, I'll build them up in scales of...
Okay, start with the nicest to
the worst.
There's
no nicest.
Okay, right.
Sandpaper.
What, rubbing it
on the
pipe?
Yeah, 120 grit, like the rubbing down wall.
Why would you like
in
that?
In between coats.
So it made it bleed?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea. And, okay. I remember it on Channel 4, there was like a late night documentary once.
Yeah.
The little red triangle used to come on.
Yeah.
And there was a bloke who enjoyed that. And then there was another guy laid it in a mouse trap.
Right.
And it was just a poised mousetrap, so the camera's just poking.
Oh, hello.
It's made me hit my microphone. I'm so scared of what's going to happen. And it was waiting for it to go, and then it just went and slapped on top of the bell end, right on the top. And that was the one. The worst one.
So he enjoyed that pain?
Enjoyed the pain. The worst one. This is the worst one.
Right.
A drill with a drill bit straight into the jap thigh. In and out.
Why? Why would you even watch that?
I don't know. Why
did you watch that?
I was through one eye, ironically.
Oh, God.
It did make me watch it through one eye.
I couldn't watch that.
I just don't understand.
I don't want to see
that.
How
do people get off on that?
That's really not very nice at all.
But it must be a weird, thick, sadist part of the brain, isn't it?
Oh, it's just odd.
There's
really
odd. Some weird old people.
Like, if we've got a scale of, like, 1 to 10, like... I would say on that kind of scale, those guys are at 10.
Yes.
Like for just weird, sadistic, bleh, horrible.
Yeah.
5 is like, for me, on that scale, 5's like jumping out of an aeroplane, skydiving. That brings that down to a 5.
Yeah.
Because that is like the ultimate.
No, but I mean, if it's in the bedroom, the lowest scale of that, is someone pinching
you. Spanking your bottom.
Or flicking you on the ear, or sort of saying something like, in the middle of it, going, you forgot to put the bin out. That low-level trauma.
Yeah.
But then putting the thing in a mouse trap.
That's just awful. I'm sorry, but that is really odd.
I just think if you're...
I find that really weird.
But if your register is that high,
yeah.
Then nothing...
Well...
What are you going to do?
You could have surgery with no anaesthetic.
I bet they'd love that. I bet they'd love
so?
That. Yeah. Just there, wide
awake.
It's
just weird, isn't it?
Just going, whoa, doctor.
That's not right, that, Scott.
No.
That's not
well,
right.
Well, of course they're not right. I think anything where you sort of, it makes you wince a bit down there. It
makes me wince, and I ain't even got a todger.
There's some weird blokes out there, isn't there?
There must be
it's
women
mainly
as well.
Men. It's mainly men, though, isn't it?
Do you think so?
Well, maybe not.
Maybe.
I don't know, but there's some odd people.
Oh, God.
But someone
that's
said
made
to
me
as well.
Really
there's
weird.
There's a comedy club. London's a very...
Eclectic
place, you know. There's a comedy club that called Vauxhall Comedy Club that I'm doing, but apparently at night...
Is it in Vauxhall?
Yeah, there's a night there. There's an area around there, and apparently it's famous for like chemsex.
What's that?
Where they have like a dungeon where people go and like swing.
Chem? What does it mean by chemsex?
Well, they're all on poppers and all sorts of mad stuff.
Okay.
But like apparently like when you're on stage, you said, oh, have a look round, and all the walls are like... Black velvet, white clean, like plastic.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, God. I think it's the point when you walk in there and you realise that all the chairs have got dildos on or something. But it's just like a weird thing of like, that's just sort of like a Saturday night. You just can go and, you don't pay, you go and that's the understanding of these places. It's completely legal.
How
completely
is it legal?
Consensual. Because it's just part people turning up with their partners, isn't it?
Okay.
But it's just a... Why, you're sounding like you're contemplating it.
No, I'm not. I'm not contemplating
Imagine
it.
Imagine us in there nodding off in the corner.
I'm just thinking it's not too late to make some alterations to the new kitchen.
What, couple of... Oh, that would be amazing. What, just a couple of dildos off the...
On the bar stools.
On the bar stools. Do you know what would be amazing, wouldn't it? Instead of the instead of the pictures going up, what's this? This is a crucifix.
Yeah.
We've got to pop a few chains on there. Shackles. We've had stud wall. Don't put the chains on the stud wall. You'll pull it down.
White clean everything. Everything's white clean.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I think us in a sex dungeon like that, as a couple swinging, I think, first of all, we'd have to get everything done by 9:30.
Yeah.
Because we'd be too tired.
Yeah.
We'd be like, listen, 9:30's our cut-off.
Especially when I've been up all night watching Eurovision.
Yeah, this one's been up all night watching Eurovision. I'm tired. I've had a tough week. Can we get any snacks as well before we start?
I love a bugle.
Well,
have you got any bugles?
You got a bag of bugles, love. Bag of bugles.
You got that Yorkshire tea that tastes like jam and toast?
Yeah.
Pop us one of them in.
And then we'll get cracking, shall we? I will get cracking after that. But
do you know?
I think we wouldn't even last, would we?
I was just going to say, can we have a Eurovision party next year?
Yeah.
Thank you.
We can have it in the dildo kitchen.
Thank you.
On the kitchen island.
I can't wait. Oh, and also, Soph's got a mega jubilee party at her school. It's going to be brilliant. They're doing a whole day. And then in the afternoon, there's a massive, I've got hiccups.
You have windy pops all the
street
time.
Party on the school field.
Right.
They've all got to dress up in red, white and blue. They're doing such a big effort for it. And I'm just so glad for the kids because I think it'll be so special. And then the parents are invited for Pims in the afternoon.
They're going to let parents drink on school
site. And they've got puddings. They're going to have puddings and Pims. It's going to be brilliant. All we need is the weather.
Do you know what I think is funny about that?
Go on.
It's like, I think that is your stop flicking. You were a fiddler. You are such a fiddler. You are fiddler on the roof. You know that? You are literally, if you were doing a musical, you are fiddler on the roof.
I've just got to do this to annoy him.
No.
You're so annoying.
No, it's annoying. You're being annoying doing
that.
No,
I just did one little flick. So I'm doing 20
I'm zoned in on it.
Now. 25 even. I'm going up. So.
Have you got it out of your system?
There. Thank
you. Got it out of your system? I think there's a lot.
Good luck editing that.
I think there's a lot when you drinking on school grounds. It feels that sense of rebellion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm having a Pims.
Yeah.
And the head teacher's like, you can have a Pims.
Actually.
Have a Pims on the graph.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant put up a funny post on his Twitter saying, what is this invention of Satan? And it was one of those parking meters where you have to put in your registration.
Yeah.
And that did make me realise they are a nightmare. Have you ever used one of those?
Yeah.
But do you know what? It stopped doing that registration. It stopped that moment in society where you can give someone your ticket.
Of course. Yeah.
And that moment...
It stopped the pay it forward, hasn't it?
It stopped the pay it forward. But that moment was human bonding.
It was.
On a scale of just beautiful.
There was no other moment like it,
was there? No, there wasn't. There was no... What other moment is there? Holding a door for someone?
I tell you what, something that's very similar is if you're in a queue at a shop...
Yeah.
And somebody says, oh, God, I ain't got a quid or whatever. And you go, no, have it. And keep it. Keep that.
I was thinking of, you've got a big... trolley full of stuff and they've just got like two items and you go, would you like to go ahead of me?
Yeah.
But then what
happens? Yeah, that is a nice one. That's a nice one.
But then what normally happens is they go, Julie, we've got one. And then they come and follow you in with six trolleys.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know what you mean. That sort of moment where you're
at... Or I'm closing my till, but I'll pop you through.
Oh.
That's a nice one.
When they're just about... And then can you put that gate behind you? And you know
your
last one.
That's
and then
nice.
You look and then they go, you have to tell the person.
Yeah.
You have to say...
She's shutting now.
She's shutting
now. I'm in.
I've got her last burst of the
You've
day.
You've got to join that massive queue there, but I'm in, all right.
She's doing this for me.
Yeah.
She's actually doing overtime
for
me, mate.
Exactly.
You're past the gate now. Yeah. Close the gate. Get in the queue with the other peasants.
That's it.
I've been fast tracked.
Yeah.
This is the first class scanning happening for me.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah. But there's also that, I mean, my mum and dad used to do that. Sometimes you let those people in.
Yeah.
And those, do you know which ones I don't like?
Yeah.
Have you ever had this? Yeah. And I've done it to people.
Yeah.
Is you've gone and you've put some stuff on and you've gone, I've forgotten something.
Yeah.
Now, my mum would just go, salmon!
Yeah.
And declare it and then send my dad off like a dog.
Yeah.
Ironically, like a bear to collect salmon, come back with it in his teeth. Sometimes I would leave stuff on the conveyor and go, we're just going to get some butter. And you just disappear off and you can see people behind you looking at an empty thing going, who's this maverick?
Yeah.
Where's he gone?
Yeah.
And then you come back, you say, excuse me, put the butter on. I quite like that.
Yeah.
It's like you've got your space.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. off you go
as
again.
As long as you don't disappear to do a four-week shot.
As long as you don't take the piss. But yeah, those moments in society. That...
Or like when you go to a cafe and they go, I said, oh, I asked for a medium. You've done me a large there. And they go, don't worry about it. Just have it. Not going to charge you. Oh, that's nice, yeah. isn't it? Extra big coffee.
But those
pay
it forward moments in life, they've snuffed that
there,
out.
They've thought bollocks to you. You're not passing that ticket.
You're not having a moment of human interaction.
It's an evident attempt at gaining more revenue.
Yeah, but also eroding society's bonding.
Pay it forward.
My dad sometimes. And honestly, he'd go into it. I remember it was as a kid, went into this car park. I think we were going to the cinema. And this guy went, my dad was just about to put some money into the meter. And you know how angry he is about that. Mm. He was annoyed about parking.
Yeah.
And the guy said, whoa, mate, don't.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah.
There's 3 hours on this.
Yeah.
And my dad looked at him
yeah.
like he'd just said, would you like my kidney?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that level of.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I could see him just going.
I love you.
And I said to my dad, you're all right. Just chokes up, son.
Yeah. Really tough.
It's a moment that I just can't.
Yeah.
But now, putting your registration in.
Yeah.
They're bastards.
They are, aren't they?
I used to love doing that.
What if you typed in as your registration? Fuck you.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah, cute. Like an ex. X my ass.
And then you have to go to court and you go,
yeah.
I mistyped it.
Yeah.
You put kiss my ass.
Yeah. I didn't mean to put that. I meant to put RE64
2P Wee. 2P Wee. Do you know what, though? But that I used to love that moment where I used to actually wait for people to go to the machine.
Yeah.
I used to buy longer than I needed.
What, to pay it forward?
So I could pay it forward.
No, you didn't. You know, that's a bloody lie.
Of course it is. But ooh, yeah.
I call BS. Mm.
But this is the thing. His point was there's too many machines in society, and it is. They're too hard to use. They're taking away interaction. I mentioned it with the cash machine and the paying in the money in the back. I want to speak.
You don't speak with a normal parking machine, though.
No, but I mean, they've took that moment of, you know.
Yeah.
Alice and Henry wrote in. Do you remember Alice and Henry was her teenage son who shaved his armpits?
Yeah. Trimmed.
She had a teenage armpit problem.
He was a trimmer.
She said she waited 12 years for her bath. You know, she had this bath with her feet on it.
Yeah.
She said she waited 12 years to be able to soak in the bath
and
the water to cover her nipples.
Oh.
Which is so weird. For 10 years.
No, but what she means is, because we were saying our bath's so small that your knees are around your ears, aren't they?
It looks like I'm pedalling a child's go-kart.
It does. It does. It's awful. Your legs are permanently cold in that bath because, no, you make a choice. You either have a warm torso or a warm pair of legs. You can't have both at the same time.
No, two parts of your body.
You could literally fill it to the rim and you still, all body parts would not be covered.
Yeah, you have to make a choice.
So what Alison is saying is she's now got a bath that she can actually get her body into.
To submerge.
Yeah,
she says, so good. She says, yeah, our house was new build and the bath was tiny.
Yeah.
And I think it is that, like you say, I don't enjoy soaking in the bath.
No, because
effectively
it's not big enough.
I'm sat in a puddle.
Yeah.
My lower end.
That's
in.
Why when we've been to a hotel and there's a massive bath, I do tend to have a bath.
Yeah, but but that's again the thing about hotels, isn't it? You don't know who else is.
Yeah, but that really nice one we went to at Slaley Hall.
Yeah.
That was mint. There was like steps up to it and stuff. It was lovely.
Did you get in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I tried to have 5 minutes, but we did have a 2-year-old at the time, so I didn't get much
space. To the point where you're underneath with just bubbles and just your eyes coming through.
No, but I really did enjoy having
a deep submerge.
It was so good.
She said, I lay in baths. This is funny, man. This is funny. She says, to test it, she laid in baths in showrooms over the northeast with a spirit level between my nipples and the overflow hole. Imagine
that's really good.
So she laid in. I'm trying to think how she did that.
Yeah, so she's trying to gauge whether if the water's up to here.
Is this nipple? Is this?
Am I going to push it over?
I love how she went, is this above the nipple threshold?
Yeah, yeah.
John, bring the spirit level.
Yeah.
But so she laid in it.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that she put a spirit level.
Yeah.
But, you can see what she's doing.
But it's funny how you sat in the bath.
Very clever.
Because it's like when you try your bed. Yeah. It's a weird thing to go
try
bed shopping. Lay on it.
Buy.
Just lay on it and pretend. But do you ever sort of like, do you think when you're buying a bed, do you ever sort of lay on it, but then roll over, get in it, try and do a few sex moves, just make sure it covers all bases.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like then a tick list, isn't it?
A tick
there?
List. Like yeah. You're looking at a car. You okay. Kick the tires.
Let's just check you can spoon comfortably. Yeah. I can starfish comfortably when you're away. Can I roll?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few bouncy moves. Let's see, check it out.
What yeah. other things can you do?
Yeah,
can
that's
you,
fine.
Can you do the tuck under the duvet?
Well, that's more to do with the duvet than the
bed. Okay, I'm just yeah. trying to think of
yeah.
things.
Yeah, yeah.
Just oh. pretend to hoover around it.
Yeah.
But this idea of...
Can I reach to put my... Can I reach to put my Kindle on the floor without it dropping?
No, you knew... When I fall asleep, how far is the Kindle
yeah,
drop?
Yeah.
Like saying to the salesman, yeah. mate... How far's the Kindle
yeah,
drop? Because
yeah.
when I'm doing my little word puzzle
yeah.
and I take about yeah. 3 minutes to drop off, how far? It's a 30-centimetre Kindle
yeah,
drop. I'm
yeah.
afraid that's not acceptable.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to have to go futon?
That reminded me of when Jack D said he knows when his son's fallen asleep because he hears his phone hit the floor.
Goes, thum, thum.
He's gone to sleep.
Yeah, it's like the last fight of the body.
Yeah.
We know when Liv goes to sleep because it's like after the 2 hour wind down.
Yeah.
Gradually, yeah. sort of. She shuts down slower than like Robocop.
Oh, God.
Powered down. I just love the idea of going around bath showrooms, sitting in them, doing the nipple test.
Yeah.
And then she bought them.
Yeah.
So she said, the bath is a lovely thing. It's a thing of beauty, but no gold taps. So she's been shopping for baths. Can
Very
you believe
nice.
That?
No, she did.
Well, she, yeah, she's yeah, got that. Yeah. yeah.
She's got the bath.
Any of your coffee club chat from last week?
No.
There's none?
No. You've put me on the spot. I can't remember any. Literally nothing.
But you talk about stuff every week and none of it filters
well,
into
I've
this
not
pod.
I've had a coffee with them since Friday.
And what happened on the Friday?
Can't remember.
Literally can't remember.
But what I was going to say was I went yeah. to see Henry Norman at the theatre
yeah.
with my auntie. She bought it me for my birthday. Absolutely brilliant shout from the old auntie. Sorry, less the old. She's not that old. It was just brilliant. It was so, so good. And it was an audience with, and
yeah.
he did, I'm sure he's done, maybe he hasn't specifically done stand-up, but it was like stand-up.
He's a poet, isn't he, Henry Norman?
Yeah, he's a poet.
Yeah.
And it was interwoven with his poetry, as well as like anecdotal, so about his life, his son.
What an evening of culture you've had
It
there.
Was so, but it sounds really highbrow, but it was so accessible. And of course, he's very proud of his working class roots and he's from Nottingham. He was born in St. Anne's. And it was just so interesting and so funny and very poignant in moments because his son's got autism.
Yeah.
And I think he's basically nonverbal. He does talk sometimes, but, you know, it's limited. And it was just brilliant. And that was just wonderful. And I just thought, I don't go to the theatre for that kind of thing very often. It's normally with us, it's either musicals or kids stuff, isn't it? Or
yeah.
panto or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And I bought his poetry book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you already, but one of my favourite moments of the night that really made everybody laugh. So some of his poetry is really quite deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then some of it is just hilarious. And he did a thing about...
He's like an Alan Bennett of poetry.
He has been described as Alan Bennett.
The Alan Bennett of poetry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mother, confused on the sofa.
Mm.
I love
yeah.
Alan Bennett's
I
voice.
I do.
Mother, confused. It reminded me of
Henry
winter.
Norman's got a nice voice to listen to.
Has he?
Yeah. And he's massively campaigning for libraries to stay open.
Yeah.
And I did think, I thought, I love a library. Love a library. And taking the kids to the library, brilliant place. They've done the one up in Beeston. It's absolutely fantastic. Such
this
a gorgeous
like
environment.
This has become like Back to the Future, save the clock tower or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Gemma's going to
save the libraries.
So you had an evening of culture.
It was beautiful.
Give us your little book right. interlude.
Simple Pleasures.
Okay.
By Claire Gogarty.
Gogarty.
So today I'm just reading another little Simple Pleasure out of my book. Making
right.
tea in a teapot. So again, it's very much on the brew theme. Dunking a tea bag in a mug full of just boiled water is an activity many of us undertake countless times a day with barely a thought. Anyone who's worked in an office knows this only too well. Most workplace kitchens have walls streaked with tea from tea bags carelessly chucked towards the bin post-dunking.
Yeah.
Do you do that? You tell me off for leaving mine on the side.
You leave it on the side.
I do leave it
on a
tea.
I don't know why.
I leave it on a tea bag holder thing. But it's not a whole lot harder to put that same tea bag in a teapot.
Mm.
Let it brew for a minute or two and then pour. And I have to say, I've cut that short, but I love the aesthetic of a teapot.
You like the sound of it as
and
well?
And I thought to myself,
it's better for the brew, isn't it?
Well, apparently. Yeah, probably, because you let it swirl around in the water. But I was just thinking, like, when we have people around, I do like to get the old teapot out. And I've bought quite a few teapots in recent times from charity shops because I found some beautiful teapots. And I love all the oldie-worldy, like, matching tea cups and saucers. And I just can't wait to do that again.
What?
Just make proper tea for people.
Would you like a proper tea?
Yeah, I love it. I love it when you pour, I love it when you put a little bit of milk in the cup.
The bubbles in the middle.
Yeah, and it comes out that lovely.
The bubbles are like the tea leaves.
It's so
sort
good.
Of like that moment where you go.
So good.
That is a proper brew now because I
love
can see.
It. So love it.
We've got the bubbles. Your dad's always like that. Bubbles, circuit, moving around.
Can't wait.
It's the bubbles in the brew.
Bonjour et bienvenue au petit test vocabulaire avec Scott Bennett.
Scott Bennett.
Salut Pierre. He's a good lad, isn't he? Coming all that way from Paris every week just to do this bit. Merci Pierre. No, you can't get paid. You enjoy your pasty from Greg's like everybody else who works on this show.
I love this imaginary Pierre chat.
It's not imaginary. Don't give it away.
Sorry.
Pierre, just turn it down a bit.
That's it. Merci.
Okay. So this week, cette semaine, les chiffres, numbers.
Right.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let's see how you do on this then. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, cans.
Cans.
He's looking worried. Cans. You can answer when you're ready.
9.
Fucking hell, you're bad at this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Number 9's Nerf.
What is it then?
Cans. 15, mate. Jesus.
15.
I don't think you're going to do very well at this. Numéro 2. Number 2. Soixante. Oh dear, he's looking.
16.
No. 60.
I was really good at numbers and now
you
it's
were.
Gone. I was, yeah.
Okay.
If I'd have watched Eurovision, I'd have got this.
Oh, you would. Numéro 3. 80.
40.
Shit. It's 80, love. 80.
It's 80.
80 is literally 420s. 80.
Right. Oh, God.
Oh, dearie me.
I'm dying.
Dying
on my ass here.
Numéro 4. 100. If I tell you the spelling, you'll get it.
Oh, 100.
Well done. He's got one, everybody. Well done. Oh, dear.
I feel that palpable sense of disappointment.
Yeah. Numéro 5. 43.
43.
Good, it was your age. Just thought I'd do that one for you.
Just remind you of that. Good, it was your age.
It was your age.
Well, that was dog
shit. So you scored 2 out of 5.
Appalling, appalling.
It's not great, love. I've got to say.
I can feel that you're a bit disappointed with me.
Even Pierre's pulling a face over there. He's really shocked at that.
Yeah.
I know. Je sais, Pierre. Je sais. Alors. La semaine prochaine.
I'm so sorry, Pierre. Pierre's disappointed.
Next week.
What are you going to do?
We're going to do organs of the body.
Oh, maybe a naughty organ. It's been trapped under a...
Oh.
Mousetrap.
Yeah, not
well,
that.
Thank you for that feature, Gemma.
You're
I enjoyed
welcome.
That. Thank
Merci.
You. Merci, au revoir. I just want to talk about the eldest. The one thing about Olivia which made me laugh so much of the week.
What?
It took her 2 hours to have a shower. I mean, that's some sort of record, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you not think how funny that was? Looking back. Because I went, did I go to work and come home?
No, you didn't.
What was I doing? But she sort of said, I'm going to go out and get a shower.
I think you were at home that night.
9 o'clock. 11 yeah. o'clock.
Yeah.
She's still just titting about.
Yeah.
What does she do?
She just dawdles, procrastinates.
A 2 hour wind up for
yeah,
a shower.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Were you
annoying.
Ever like that as a kid?
No.
No, because you were just in, water on, shower.
Well, I did. No, that in all fairness, I did used to stand in the shower for an awfully long time.
Yeah. Do you know what makes me laugh? Yeah. Your mum and your dad tells me about
yeah.
that. So you've said as well, you used to go in 6 in the morning, like in arms, it's like you were going down, if I can describe it, like, you know, when you go down a slide at a water park,
yeah,
you would stand up and throw your arms.
No, I think I just looked like a vampire, yeah, yeah, just coming round in the shower, just like my hands stood there.
Do you know what?
Just letting the hot water run on me.
Yeah, I think
it just took a while to.
Is that poetic? Sort of like your body building up and your arms was gradually unfolding.
Yeah, but
like,
my dad was thinking was, this is costing a lot of money for this hot water.
This is a 7 hour rebirth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you did the opposite thing. It didn't take you 2 hours to get in.
No.
But you were in for 2 hours.
Not 2 hours, but you know what I'm saying.
But the water didn't go on till 11 at night. And
yeah,
we had to go tell her.
I know.
We're like, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
Then she gets pissed off and upset because she's like, I've been rumbled.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what she's doing. She's a potterer.
Yeah.
She just
We can
moves.
All potter though, can't we? I mean,
I, know,
I
but
enjoy
that is,
pottering.
Can you fill two
but,
hours?
Yeah, she shouldn't be doing that. I mean, she won't do that again. She won't do that again in Ori. But yeah, she took ages, didn't she?
I love the rebirth thing of, yeah, of you just sort of in the shower, arms folded.
Still love a shower now.
Do you?
Love a shower. Love a bath as well.
I find it a chore, mate.
What, having a shower?
Only any of that. Any repetitive task.
Yeah.
Showering.
I know what you're
brushing
saying.
Brushing the teeth.
I know
brushing
what you're
the
saying.
Teeth. Wiping arses.
What, your own?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going around old folks.
You find that a chore, do you?
Yeah.
Don't do it then. Just leave it.
That wouldn't be very popular. Certainly couldn't do that. What does my dad do for a living?
Now I'll stop wiping my ass. Yeah.
Imagine just saying that.
Waste of time.
For the environment. Yeah. And for, I just
don't. I know you'd love a B-day, wouldn't you?
Guys,
day.
You may be smelling a little bit of a weird smell. Just want to declare, I no longer wipe my ass.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A very controversial thing. Yeah. Saving on paper. But I just haven't got the time in the day. It's just one thing I can cut back on. Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit more productive if I don't wipe my ass.
On Saturday, me and your brother were sat chatting, and Toby, he loves drinking from a beer bottle.
Right.
He's anyone, but because if Ross is having a beer, he just wants to do the same as his dad. And it was an empty beer bottle because Ross had put it down next to him.
Yeah.
And we're chatting away, and we didn't realise he grabbed the beer bottle and was drinking water from the beer bottle, and we're sat next to the fountain.
Which fountain?
In your dad's garden. And Ross grabbed it off and he was like...
It's not a fountain, it's a bird bath.
No, well, it's not a bird bath. It is like a water feature, isn't it? With a
Well, it's thing. A little Legionella collecting area.
Well, this is the thing, we don't know.
It's not hygienic, that fountain.
If Toby put the bottle in and filled it up with the fountain water...
It'll not kill him.
Well,
Kids
I mean, we're both like,
years.
Oh, God, like this. He just poured it out and then we were like... Surely he hasn't got the dexterity to put the bottle in, fill it up a bit, put it in his mouth.
Can I just say, that's sort of a double parent fail, isn't it? Because she's drinking out of a beer bottle
and from a pond.
The only way that could have been worse is if in between he'd had a drag on a fag.
Exactly.
It was like he's sort of like, I quite like that. When like those sort of rebellious, like I said, when you're 1 year old, nothing matters, is it?
Well, that's
get
not
me a beer bottle.
That's
I'm drinking.
Like,
no, I'm drinking out of a fountain, mate.
I'm thirsty. I'm going to drink out of a fountain. They don't see the danger, do they?
I'm going to drink out of that. We're not
so anyway,
the frog off.
We were just like, nah, we couldn't have done that. It was just because he had another bottle.
Another beer bottle.
He had you know, because the kids all had a fruit shoot.
Yeah.
He always wants a fruit shoot, but we don't give him a fruit shoot. So we give him an empty fruit shoot bottle with water in.
Right.
And it seems to fool him. And we think he maybe had tipped water from the fruit shoot into the beer bottle. But is that also just too much to expect a 1 year old? So it probably was.
You were giving
water,
this 1-year-old this dexterity that can afford a scientist, mate. He absolutely
siphoned
that bottle
it with
in.
A pipette.
I mean, it's bath time.
Yeah.
He's been training in bath time. Yeah, like you had him siphoning. Yeah. He had his goggles on, Bunsen burner.
A couple of pipettes of the...
Father, yes. I've run out of litmus paper.
Yeah.
Please bring the Bunsen.
Let's just test the old, the old water feature water here.
He was smashing through that water feature water.
Oh, God.
Oh.
We literally only turned away for like, but that's what it takes though, isn't it?
Like when
seconds.
Your brother painted the garden,
yeah,
we talked
seconds,
about it.
Mate.
30 seconds, kids are in.
It's over.
They
sign
replicate
on.
What you do.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's what they do. Do you know what I would do if I had a drug empire?
Yeah.
I would employ pensioners in the 70s to do the dealing. Do you know why?
Why?
Never, police never bother them. They never shake down a pensioner. You could cram it all in the mobility scooter.
Yeah.
They're never a risk to, you know, no one would ever go, that pensioner's dealing outside of Mecca Bingo, would they?
No.
So do you think it's the perfect cover?
Yeah, definitely.
I get the feeling you're not invested in this.
Well, just put it to one of them. Put it to a drug dealer.
What?
After the show, just go and find a drug dealer and say, I've got a great idea.
What you need to do, mate, infiltrate the Chestnuts retirement home.
Yeah, do it.
And then, you know, you get...
I mean, pensioners are often saying they need an extra income, so... Fantastic.
But they've got a lot, think about it, they've got a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
You know, they know everyone. They stop and chat. They could be shifting some right stuff. Also, Viagra and statins, second sideline.
Mm.
I think it's the way forward. I think if I was, like I said, if I rang a drug empire for Colombian drug lords, I was like, who's dealing for you? An army of nanas, mate.
Yeah.
An army of nanas are dealing for me.
Yeah.
It takes a while. It's a bit slow moving. You're shifting about a kilo every 6 months, but they're on it, mate, and they're under the radar.
Yeah.
No one's going to spot them.
No. Very good.
So that is my plan.
Mm.
Nana
good.
Dealers. Have them all on speed dial. They wouldn't be able to use the phones, though. You'd have to get them on the landline, wouldn't you?
People don't have landlines, though, do they?
Nanas do.
Yeah. We do. Are we nanas?
Possibly, potentially.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
That went down like a fart in a lift. You're just staring at me.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I honestly don't know what to say to that.
You just want to get it at me to get it out. You're looking at me like just going, just say this bit.
Yeah.
But you don't even have opinions on it.
No, I did. But you're now talking about drug dealing nanas. I mean, it's just what am I supposed to say?
I don't know.
What?
Go with it. Tell me what you'd do.
I wouldn't do anything. I think this is a mental conversation. You're a fucking comedian. This is awful.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's just drivel. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's just thoughts I have sometimes.
Well, keep them to yourself.
I drive around
keep
a lot on my
own. Keep them to yourself.
I spend a lot of time on my own.
Keep those thoughts to yourself because that is very worrying.
What? It's just sometimes I have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, I know.
I think I don't have anyone to talk to. And
yep.
If you were in the car with me and I'd have said, what do you think about drugs?
I'd have said exactly the same as what I've just said now.
Shut up.
This is incredibly worrying. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not even funny. But yeah, great.
We've had also our regular correspondence.
Yes.
We've had here from Saz and Steve Green.
Yep.
We talked about candle smells.
Yes.
You've got this Yankee candle bought. That
no,
was,
it wasn't Yankee.
What was it?
It was an American brand.
Not Yankee?
No.
Oh,
no.
Light Yankee.
Well, it's just a really nice candle.
And they said it smelt like?
It's not called this, but it prompted us to think of different names for candles. My cousin said it smells like a rich man's apartment.
Well, you didn't ask her why she knew that was a bit of an odd one.
But you knew what you meant. She meant.
I didn't know what she meant.
It evoked an image. Let's just say that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Saz have come up with their own ideas.
Yeah, these are
some
good.
Of the good ones are quite like here. Grandad's Cardi.
Yeah.
That's a bit Dinner Lady Tabard. That's in that same line.
I think Grandad, Grandma, both a similar scent.
Yeah.
Comfort.
What would it be?
It's
pipe smoke.
It's a positive fusty smell. It's not a bad fusty smell. It's like a comforting.
Do you know what it is?
Go on.
It's a smell that says your birthday's coming soon. We're going to tape some pound coins in a card.
Lovely, lovely.
A card with a picture of a train on the front, yeah. Even though you've got no interest in trains, yeah. There's a watercolour train on the front.
It's a smell that says, I've got a couple of mints in my top pocket, one's coming your way.
It's a smell that says, when you come to my house, yeah. We're going to get the biscuit barrel out, yeah. And your mum and dad yeah. Don't need to know.
Yeah.
It's that sort of it smell. Is. Top of a puppy's head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what she means.
Just nuzzling.
We met the most lovely dog on Friday called Sunny. It was a collie. Oh, just so lovely.
A border collie.
And it was the soft fur, and I did kiss the head. I was like, oh, so soft.
Kiss the head of the puppy.
So soft and warm. And it's like a baby's head as well.
It's weird, isn't it? People always smell the baby. Oh, I think you look weird smell. Breathing in on a baby.
Let me have a smell of him.
Weird or not, I do it. It's so good. Such a good smell.
I love believing in a bit. And the last one she said here, which is interesting, inside of a book.
Oh, I love the inside of a book. Mm. And it has to be a specific, like, some books smell a bit rank, depending on what glue, I guess, they've bound them with. But yeah. Some books, the smell of the pages, I just, like, fan them on my face. So good.
That's why you're not allowed in libraries anymore.
This is a good book.
Who was that lunatic just...
Oh, so good.
Was it good?
And a new book, it's just the crisp. Oh.
You don't get that with a Kindle, do you?
Oh, you don't.
You can't smell your Kindle.
Scratch and sniff.
Although you do end up falling asleep with your Kindle on your face.
I do.
So effectively, you do smell your Kindle.
It just makes you think, doesn't it, how important your sense of smell is if you lose that.
What would you rather
you're
lose?
You're missing out on incredible people always say that. What taste would you, or smell.
Taste or smell. I think it's one of those, I think it is, you do, it is all part of that experience, isn't it?
It is. To smell something. I wonder what works first when you eat. Is it the fact that, I think it's the smell, isn't it?
Well,
the smell works first because as it approaches your face,
yeah,
you're like, you're getting the smell first.
And it sends the taste buds.
And then it starts the taste buds going.
Salivation.
Yeah. And then you're like,
Well, when we saw Rick Stein at the weekend, yeah. And he had that like awful sausage.
Yeah.
That had like,
yeah.
And, And but he said the smell is quite overpowering.
Yeah.
And I would be like, that's the point I draw a line, mate. Well, because if it smells like a wet dog or
something. That's the wet dog thing. And it's wet dog.
I'm not eating that.
No.
I wouldn't think, pass that this way.
And if the smell's not right. Mm-mm.
And it was like when Clarkson that really did that documentary years ago when he had to eat that like mad sparrow dish.
Yeah.
And he had like a tea towel over his head. And I'm just like, at that point, I'm like, no, it's no. Like, I think it does put, there's a lot of visual things that put me off.
Yeah.
Like if I'm eating something and someone says something or talks about something,
it
can really throw me.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't eat in certain situations. I can't really eat in hospitals. I can't really eat. Do you know what I mean? Like there's I have to be fully relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm not good. I don't like these people who eat on trains can piss off. Those I haven't got that.
Oh, I like train eating.
No. Oh, it's weird.
Like train
people
eating.
Busting out a tuna sandwich on a train. Mm. I can't eat anything like that in those environments. Like I think anything like that shouldn't be allowed. Prawn sandwich on a train just.
Oh,
it's that weird.
I love eating on a train though.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you eat anything on the train?
Probably.
No.
Yeah. Just I think I could.
It's because you it's it,
I love
don't know
the
what
fact
it is.
That you're on a train and you sat still. It's brilliant. Just sitting still and then it just that sparks a hunger in me because I'm just like, this is so nice just sitting still. It's like a little holiday.
I can do a coffee, I can do sweet stuff. I can't do people who eat like a tuna sandwich. Or a tuna salad on a train.
Yeah.
I think it's like bringing anthrax on.
Surely because it's just egg is that.
Egg
it?
Is a bad one as well. But I think I have to be in a certain...
I love an egg sandwich though. Oh my God, I love an egg sandwich.
You see, I don't understand that.
You're making
that.
Me salivate.
I don't
I'm
understand
so
that.
Hungry.
No, we used to do food chat, didn't we? Yeah. I think there's a lot to do with the environment you're in and where you are. Like, I think it's like one of those...
I tell you what, there's nothing more depressing though is... Pre-prepared sandwiches when they've been in the fridge in a shop.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's like, it makes the bread kind of damp and cold.
Yeah.
The filling's cold. And I really do think things need to be eaten at room temperature.
Yeah.
And it's just very depressing.
Well, try like late night when I drive back and there's nothing.
Nothing.
It's the saddest looking at that, you know, that shelf with this.
Yeah.
It's like a Ken Loach film.
It is, isn't it?
Do you know, like, it's like a bleak. If there was a soundtrack,
yeah,
it'd be. That's what,
yeah.
When I look at those sandwiches, it's like, me mum's left, me dad's left, we got no money, we can't afford to keep the roof over his head, and here's a... And it's always all day breakfast.
Yeah.
And when it's 2 in the morning,
you
which day?
Yeah.
Today or the other day.
Yeah.
And I can't, it's the saddest, it's sad. I'm gonna, next time I'm in late night services,
take a picture.
I'll take a picture, because they're not even facing the front. Because they can't even be asked to display them.
Yeah.
So they're just scattered.
Yeah.
And like, there's like one weird chicken tikka wrap that you think, oh, that's
not
a,
touching
that's
that.
A runny bottom every day of the week, isn't it? But it's the saddest collection of food.
Don't bother.
And I struggle with it.
It must be hard, that.
Because I'm hungry. And then I look and I just think...
So I bet then you end up just getting a bag of crisps because it's safe, isn't it?
At least it's safer.
Safe and...
But a late night... I think there's nothing worse than a late night scotch egg from a petrol station.
Yeah.
That is the point.
Liv would love that. She loves
a scotch egg. But late night scotch egg from a petrol station is, my kids have left me, my marriage has broken down, and this is where I am, sat eating a scotch egg in a service station.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
It is. This week's mundane task is changing the toilet roll.
You're looking at me in
Scott,
a...
Scott, tell us what you know about changing the toilet roll.
I think we're both equally as bad.
No. Oh, sorry about that.
You're going to have to do that again.
No, we won't. Just keep it in.
No, you can't keep an advert in.
It's all right. It's fine. No, what do you know about changing a toilet roll?
Well, you're looking at me guilty, and I think we're both...
I did have... As we drove up to Yorkshire this weekend, I knew we'd only got 2 toilet rolls left in the house. And now that we are a 2-toilet household...
You need to buy double the roll.
I don't mean to brag everyone, but that's a kind of a big deal, okay? We need more loo roll.
You and did that. That is a cardinal sin. I'm
and
sorry.
And I said to you, I said, we've not got much toilet roll. You're going to have to buy some. And what did you buy? 4 measly rolls.
No, the thing is, you...
What's 4 going to do?
You have done the worst thing that you can do to someone which is to run down the toilet roll with absolutely zero replacement.
No, but there was 2 full rolls left. It's not like you were left, you know, you're going to have a poo and you got nothing to wipe with.
Mm.
But... It is a pain in the arse.
Who's responsible for the toilet roll stock check?
I am the main stock checker. I am the main changer. Liv always leaves us with nothing.
She leaves us on cardboard, that
and
girl.
Sophie, you can't really shout at her because she's 6. That's just... You
what
know,
she likes to do is unravel it and so it just gathers on the floor.
A 6-year-old's prerogative is, I don't give a shit about toilet roll. You, that's your job.
I'm not on board.
So
as long as there's something there, I will wipe my arse on the cat. If there was nothing there, I'm using the
cat. But it's so annoying because generally I'm desperate for the toilet. I'll run, sit on the toilet, and then realise there's no toilet roll. And that's bad.
That is the moment.
You've got to check.
And then you shout me.
But I'm saying, I'm the one who always changes it. I'm not having it.
So what do you have to do? Do you have to do the penguin waddle?
No, you have to do a bit of a shake.
Shake and then waddle across.
So that you've got no major drippage and then waddle across to get a new one.
It's quite a bleak moment, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's quite a moment.
Do you think we should switch to having a system where, you know, some people have a freestanding thing with like loads of rolls in it. But I'm always about less clutter.
I mean, I'd have to go for sit down.
Some people have a lovely display basket with loads in.
Well, do you know what though? I need to then switch to sit down wheeze.
Why?
Because I can't trust myself not to hit that podium.
Well, you could place it so that you don't.
No, because sometimes, I've told you before, sometimes this thing at the end, it's on a hose lock setting and it's on fine mist and I have no control over it. It just...
Maybe you should just sit down anyway then.
I might have to now start saying, as the only man in the house, I think I should start urinating in the same way you do.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that should be the rule, actually.
Yeah.
If you are outnumbered...
Yeah.
you compensate as a man by doing sit-down wees.
Okay. But does that mean if you're a woman in a house full of men, you start doing a stand-up
You
waz?
Stand up and waz from the corner.
I'm not sure about that.
And they have to walk it in when the pressure dips.
I'm glad you're the only dinkle in the house.
But yeah, I think it's one of those tasks where...
No, it's just laziness. People can't be arsed. That's the bottom line.
I bet there's more than us that who get caught. It's who you shout for.
Guess what?
What?
I need a wee.
You can't go now.
Yeah, I'm desperate.
Have we resolved the issue of the toilet
yeah.
bowl?
Yeah, we have. You're lazy and so is Liv. Nobody ever replaces it. Only me.
Right.
Resolved.
So again...
And it's just annoying. It's an annoying, mundane task.
Again, we've come back to the fact that Gemma is brilliant. That's where we come...
No, it isn't.
A lot of these features I've noticed are Gemma is the best.
No, it isn't.
It shouldn't be called mundane tasks.
No, it's basically me having a moan, isn't it? That's
Gemma's
what it is.
The best, again, of the week.
No. Gemma's having a moan about the stuff she does and nobody else does. That's what it is.
But I do change the toilet roll.
Very rarely. Very rarely.
I think if you are on the toilet and you've run out of toilet roll and you shouldn't be able to shout anyone, I think you should have to do a check before you go in.
Okay.
And if you don't have one...
What, if you're really desperate?
You're on your own.
No, I think the person who ran the roll out should be replacing. And do you know what I even do?
What?
This is how good I am. I sometimes preempt the end of the roll, so there might be just a tiny little bit left, and I leave a fresh one ready for somebody.
As if to say,
I've got your back. I've got your backside.
You're going to use this. You're going to use
this. You're going to use up. Even if you're doing a wee, you're going to use that bad boy up. So let's put you a new one out, just ready.
You are thoughtful.
Oh, very thoughtful. Very, very thoughtful.
Oh, dear. I had to record a podcast this week about my body.
Yeah.
Talking about my body.
With Danny Wallace.
Yeah, and it's coming out soon.
I can't wait to listen to
that.
It's going
to be really good. And it's called Manatomy, which is a great name.
Brilliant.
And we talked about the body. Obviously, I talked about having the one testy.
Yeah.
Because actually, when someone says to you, can you want to come on and talk about your body? Mm. And I thought, I ain't got much to talk about. And then I thought, actually, I have.
Yeah, you have.
I've got one bollock. I've got shit feet.
Yeah.
Bad circulation. Terrible skin. Psoriasis. Eczema.
It's not psoriasis.
No, eczema. Eczema is the gentleman's version of psoriasis, the legend's version. And then I talked about all sorts of stuff. And then he said, even remarked, and he said, well, the hair is going good.
Yeah.
And I have got hair. The hair is probably my strongest feature.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only thing that's holding the youth.
Yeah.
Even the hairy forearms.
Yeah.
Looking like Robin Williams, comedy forearms.
He did have hairy arms, didn't he?
I've got comedy forearms.
They're not as hairy as Robin Williams. I mean, he had proper ape arms.
He had proper Wookiee arms.
Yeah.
But then I wondered whether the removal of the testicle diverted the testosterone to my hair.
No, because you always had good hair, didn't you?
Maybe it had a surge when they took the bollock
but
off.
But even before you had your testicle removed, didn't you have good hair? Because your mum's got good hair.
Probably. But
your dad's got pretty good hair.
I wonder,
so you've got good genes,
I wonder
you?
If it's compensated, though. I wonder if my hair's gone like, look, the guy's lost a bollock now. Let's give him a thick head of hair.
No, but surely you've got less testosterone without...
Testosterone.
Sorry, you've got less testosterone, surely.
But it's like people who lose the sight, their hearing improves.
Yeah.
Lose a bollock, get really good hair.
I don't know if that's the thing.
I wonder if it's like recompensating.
I'm not sure.
I wonder if I'm making more testosterone.
I don't know.
Of the loss of bollock.
I don't know.
I probably need to Google it. But it makes me wonder, maybe the cure for baldness is to take a bollock.
It's a
risky move.
It's a risky move. I don't think there'll be many fellas going... Yeah, just whip one off. Let's see what happens.
Let's at least get little.
Can you imagine going back? I want a refund on this. I want my bollock back because
I had a little bit of side growth. Yeah. You don't want side growth.
No, because actually, isn't testosterone meant to cause baldness?
Is it?
I don't know where I've read that, but I thought
you might be right
that bald men, it's actually a sign of too much testosterone.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting.
I've been thinking about
bodies. Why do ancient Greek sculptures of men, the Greek Adonis, have small penises?
Because they're not aroused.
No, they're smaller
are
penises.
They?
Yeah, I've got a picture here. They are small. They're never massive schlongs. They're quite small. They're not even dangling below the balls, some of them.
What, are you thinking like, you know...
I'm going to tell you the reason.
You've got the opportunity to have a statue of somebody. No. Let's make it really generous.
Yeah, but let me tell you the reason.
Or we could be really stingy.
Let me tell you the reason.
Right, go on then.
Because obviously they've said that they pictured men as Hulk figures,
yeah,
with taut, ripping muscles,
yeah,
partially clothed in directly, yeah, and often stark naked. Their bodies are ideal, apart from one thing:
yeah,
small penises.
Right,
compared
peni
compared to the average humanity. Art historian Edward Lear, a specialist in Greek art,
right? What's he saying?
And sexuality.
Right,
I mean that is a thing to say. I want to focus on Greek art and Greek cocks.
Yeah.
It's a very odd thing to specialise in. He said they're usually flaccid, right?
Yeah.
Now, basically, it seems at odds to what they want to do. But basically what it is the fact is that people with large erect genitals, sometimes as tall as their torsos, were part man, part animal, and lacked restraint, which was something that the Greeks thought was uncouth. So there you go. You don't want a big schlong. Do you know what I mean?
Hang on a minute. Did you say the size of their torso?
As tall as their torsos.
What?
Erect genitals.
Well, there's not many who's got one of them, is
erect
there?
Erect genitals, tall as their torso.
What's the animal bit?
Like a broom handle.
Yeah.
Sticking up there. But he said it's a sign of a stupidity, more of a beast than a man.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he said, being well endowed today... Oh, no, it said here, large phalluses represented gluttonous appetites. The conclusion can be drawn that small, flaccid penises represent self-control.
Right, okay.
So what I'm trying to say to you is, I think in the Greek day, basically, yeah, any man with a small phallus,
yeah,
in the Greek day was heralded as a Greek god.
Oh, right.
It was better to have a smaller schlong.
I thought you were going to say something like it represented more intelligent or something, or...
No, it said the penis is an index of character, good,
right,
or bad.
Okay, so self-control, it represents sort of... But sure...
Modesty.
Modesty, yeah, modest, not arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're in a weird world where people want to change their bodies, aren't we?
Yeah.
A lot of surgery.
You wouldn't
and
have
stuff.
Been able to do that though back then, would you?
Well, go and see.
What I'm saying is that often, like in the Renaissance and things, well, perhaps not that period, but certainly at a time when portraits were done, portraiture was done, didn't they ask for certain things to be changed about them? Like they, so it was done in a favorable manner rather than a true depiction of how they looked.
Yeah. So it was like to accentuate. They would say, "Don't, I've got a weird nose, mate. Don't paint that."
Yeah.
Or I've got weird, lazy eye. Sort that out, will you?
Yeah.
So it's like Photoshop on canvas.
Who was really unhappy with a portrait?
Queen, wasn't it?
Was it the Queen or was it?
It was in The Crown, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, the Queen.
Or was it the Queen?
Mm.
Or was it Prince Philip?
That is the high pressure though, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Painting the Queen. Yeah. She don't like it, mate. Yeah. Fuck it out.
Yeah, yeah.
She thinks she made her nose look big, mate.
Ooh.
But I don't think they got that with the Greek thing where they just sort of
went. No. But statues. I mean, you could have said, right.
Chisel a bit off that, mate.
Yeah. Or make me look.
No, but
you know,
they don't. Opposite way.
Isn't that funny?
Because they said it is, while the cultural symbolism of the penis has shifted from small to large.
Yeah.
Because Peter Andre this week, Katie Price has said that he had a small dinkle.
Oh.
And he had to defend himself. And it was quite sad, isn't it? That's the last thing you want to know, isn't it? As a man. People saying, oh, he's got a bit of a...
Smaller dinkle. Got plenty of children though. So it's
but now the male sex was, but then as now, the male sex was seen to be the distillation of a man's ability to dominate.
Right. Interesting.
So the interesting thing is back in the Greek days, any men who...
Ooh, you know what you've made me think of? I don't know why I looked at this. Look, talking about times gone by, years, you know, different periods of history. I was looking at the bound feet of a geisha.
What?
Do you know they used to bind their feet?
To do what?
It's horrible. It's so horrible.
What, on a night or generally?
No, generally. So if you were a geisha, they thought it was very, it could be considered erotic. Mm. So obviously.
Like bondage?
No, they would bind their feet up. So they would bend the toes of the woman underneath the foot and wrap them really
like
tightly.
Like a fist.
Yeah. And it would it would deform their feet. I don't know how they walked on them.
Is that so they could fit into different
shoes? But they were considered, yeah, really tiny, like doll shoes almost. And it would make them walk, obviously. That's why a lot of the time they would be sitting down because they couldn't actually move.
So hang on, so let's just stop a minute.
Yeah.
They had that because they didn't want to have big feet. So yeah. They stopped them growing.
Yeah.
So then, but then your feet, as soon as you unravel, they don't stop growing. They just grow into fist
feet.
Yeah,
it would be, yeah.
Like they're walking
permanently
on fists.
Deformed, yeah.
Like
if you
hooves.
See the pictures of it, it's horrible, Scott.
Like walking on
so
hooves.
So when they would unwrap them, but it was considered like some men found it a bit of a turn on as well.
What?
The bound feet.
Let's have a look at your fist
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's so grim.
No.
And obviously, if you were chosen to be a geisha, it was considered quite high. It was a high, an honour. You know, it was a... to be bestowed upon you to be a geisha, it was, you were quite high in society if you got bound feet.
I find it uncomfortable when I got a stone in my shoe.
Exactly.
A little blister.
Honestly, it's so grim.
You see, I would, at any point, I'd be like, I'm not tying up my feet, mate. It's like these people who put those things on their necks.
I know. It's just different cultures, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't happen today.
No.
I'm surely they're not binding feet still. That would be... But it's classed as cruelty.
We had things like that. Didn't people with curly hair used to iron their hair? Girls with curly hair.
Yeah.
To try and straighten it.
Yeah.
Before straighteners were a thing.
Yeah.
What are you doing, mate? I'm just ironing my head.
Yeah.
You see girls ironing their hair.
Yeah.
With greaseproof
All
paper.
All sorts of things were done for vanity, for beauty.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's a very strange thing.
And corsets, I suppose, would have been a similar thing. Mm. You know, didn't women used to have corsets so tight that it would actually stop them breathe? You know, they'd actually pass out with, because it was so tight.
It's like
their
me
lungs.
With my skinny jeans. I always try and have that belt.
Dear.
It's a whole world
Terrible.
Of a lie, isn't it?
Terrible.
The Wonder Bra was a bit of a lie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Wonder Bra. Yeah. The Wonder Bra should have been done under trade descriptions because it gave a very, very different look to the actual. Did you ever have a Wonder Bra?
Yeah, everybody.
Did
had
you
one
did you have one when we met?
Yeah, no, I don't know, but everybody had one. I mean, they still exist now. They're not. You don't have to buy a Wonder Bra. There's loads of push up bras.
Maybe the Greeks could have had that Wonder Wonder bollocks.
Yeah,
like some sort of like.
They say that they did have a Wonder Pant though, didn't they? For men, it would like boost up the older.
But then, as soon as you take it off, it's all a lie, isn't it? Where's all that gone? It's gone away, mate. It's gone back in his house. But it is interesting that through the ages, things have changed. So back then, mate, if you had a little, tiny little 4-incher,
it was considered
good. Were considered up there with Caesar.
Brilliant.
What we're going to do today, darling? What we're going to do live now? Because it's confusing. People think
well,
it's
I've
Sunday.
Got work later
it's Monday.
On.
You got work later on. We're probably going to venture into Ibiza for a jacket potato.
Quite possibly. Very nice.
I quite like a jacket potato sat on a wall.
I love a jacket potato. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It is filling of choice today.
Cheese and beans. Keep it simple.
You always cheese and beans.
Not always, but I'm going to go cheese and beans today.
Yeah. You see, you can eat that open air.
Yeah.
Only problem is, though, if I see anything, if I see like a dog or a child, if I'm sat opposite a child eating, say, a Greg's sausage roll and they're making a mess of it, I have to turn away.
Oh.
I have to turn and look at a wall.
Do you?
I can't have anything that makes me, my gag reflex, my gip, the old gip come up. If I see a nana maybe take out a toffee that's stuck into her dentures, that tate is done.
I think that would put anybody off, really.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to try and say is I'm going to eat it with my eyes closed.
Okay.
So I've got no influence from seeing
outside
the
world. You better take a bib then, aren't you? Because you're going to end up in the right bloody mess.
So this afternoon, blind potato with Scott and Gemma. Oh. So how can people get in touch with us? Have you enjoyed it this week, Gemma?
It's been great, thank
it's
you.
It's been a rambling pod of madness.
It's been brilliant. So if you want to get in touch, please contact us on bwtbpod@gmail.com or contact us on the socials. BWTB pod.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for
everyone.
Listening.
Buy tickets for the tour, scottbennettcomedy.co.uk. We'll see you on the road. Have a wonderful week. Say goodbye, Gemma.
See you later.
See you guys.
Have a good day, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
to tune in. It's